I have a lingering cough, but I praise the Lord that we came through it all, and she's through it all, and Larry's through it all, and Kelton's through it all, and Orlando, you've been through it. Anybody else in here had it? And yeah. So anyway, we're just grateful. We're grateful to be here this morning, and it was funny, the 2 months before we got into Advent, do y'all remember what we studied? We studied it for 8 weeks. Anybody remember? It's just neat how the Holy Spirit leads us here. We studied spiritual warfare. When could it have been a more appropriate time to study spiritual warfare in the life of a church in America? I cannot think of one. Can you? So then we had Advent, where we talked about the 4 or 5 themes of Advent. And as Christmas came, I just couldn't get a peace about where to go next. And my sister told me, hey, there's this little bitty, that monitor's a little bit loud there, Michael. It's trying to talk to me. But she said, there's this little book I read that really encouraged me. She said, maybe you should think about it. And it's Exodus 14. And it's the story, again, of, thank you, the children of Israel being faced with insurmountable odds and making their way across the Red Sea. And I know I've talked about this, Larry and I did on the podcast last week, but I want to break it down a little more just in concrete rules. There's 10 rules that you'll find in your bulletin. And we're going to do 7 today, and then we're going to do 4 next week, and then we're going to talk about the Song of Moses the following week about, I told Sandy, they had that great song of victory, not to steal the future of what's coming, being a spoiler, but they sang that big song of victory without really even knowing what they were going to face. So we're going to talk today about 6 things. This is the Red Sea Rules. The same God who led you in will lead you out. Okay? The Lord will not take you to a place where He doesn't provide you with the grace to go through whatever it is you're going to go through. And I believe that, I've said that, I've talked about that, now we're going to have to live that. We have to decide, as my dad said one time, when a terrible thing happened in our family to one of our family members, a female family member was the subject of a terrible crime, my dad said, this is where we find out if our faith is real. If we're able to forgive people we don't know who did terrible things to people that we love. And this is where we find out what we're really made of. As believers, it's easy to get up and praise the Lord when everything's going our way. But we have got to reach deep down, deep into the faith, in the power of the Holy Spirit, into the Word of God, and go back to those things that we looked at during spiritual warfare. Because guys, as I said before, whether you know it or not, you are in it. We are in a great spiritual battle. Whether our country survives or not, I don't know. I have my doubts, right? I was thinking this past week, I said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The Word says that. We have leadership that God is not their Lord. So how can that kind of a nation be blessed? I do not think it can be. Right? That's a sobering thought. But it's okay, because we have a citizenship that's not here, that's in heaven. And I'm going to read the lyrics to a song at the end of this by Rich Mullins called Sometimes by Step, where there was 2 lines there that have struck me in my heart my entire life, and today they're more real than ever. So we're going to look, open your Bibles to Exodus 14, and we're going to look at kind of verse by verse, and we're going to look at 6 rules this morning, and we're going to get real, and we're going to talk, and I'm probably going to sit so my poor little feet don't just hurt, if that's okay with y'all, if I'm informal this morning, instead of prancing around. And we're going to look at rule number 1 first, and that is realize that God means for you to be where you are. I have told you all and taught you and showed you scripture where you were born in the time period that you were supposed to be in. Do y'all remember me telling you that? It wasn't a fluke of history that all of us in this room were born right now when we're born in history. We have a historian with us today. But you were meant to live right now, this very second, to share the things that you have in your heart because of what you know about history. Realize that God means for you to be where you are. In Exodus 14, 1 and 2, you can read this with me. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, tell the sons of Israel to turn back and camp before Pi-Hahiroth. between Migdol and the sea, and you shall camp in front of Baal Zephon, opposite it by the sea. Guess what? That was a terrible place to be. God directed them specifically to go to a place, Jana, where they were trapped by the Red Sea in front of them. It was a sea too deep to cross, too wide to get around. They had the host of the Egyptian armies behind them coming, bearing down on them, and they had mountains on either side. But it is exactly, Dalton, the place where God wanted them to be. And it's easy for us when we're in an uncomfortable spot to think, surely God doesn't want me to be in this place. Why would God ever want something that's uncomfortable for me? What a dumb thing to ask, right? As though our comfort is what God's only interested in. He is interested in our redemption and our becoming more Christ-like, like Him, to where we live our lives in awe of Him. That's what He's after, not for our comfort, but our holiness. So we've got to remember that. God never promised us comfort. What does James, the book of James, tell us? Consider it all what? Joy, my brethren and sistren, we'll say today, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the working of these trials brings about faith. Jana, it increases our faith. And our character, exactly. And it builds our character. It makes us to be the people of God that we're to be. So my question to you is, where is your Baal Zephon? Where is your place opposite that sea? Mine, over 2 weeks, was COVID-19. You go, well, COVID really isn't that big of a deal to people. Well, I've never had an illness before where in 4 hours it could turn ugly on me and kill me. And while I lay in bed with COVID, two of my good friends died of COVID. It's enough to get your attention. And I can honestly say to y'all, I wasn't ever afraid. I don't scare easy. But I did think, wow, you know, this is the first thing I've ever had. When I get the cold, I'm not afraid. Oh, no, the cold will kill me. Or the flu. But COVID kills a few people. It's a very tiny percentage. But hey, it could be me, right? And I just said, Lord, you know, I don't think my work's done. And I pray it isn't. But Lord, I'm not going to fear anything. And we're going to move forward with this. That was my Red Sea moment in that second, okay? I've told you all about Western Bank. Some of y'all, Sandy and I worked 5 years and put all of our money into an account when we first started in our business. Mike and Audrey can probably relate something like this that happened to them. And on one day, our bank over on Westheimer, Western Bank, went under. And we lost everything that we had, 5 years worth of savings. We had worked 5 years for nothing. We never despaired. We never got upset, but we learned. We learned that we should never put too much faith in banks or in things or in numbers that are in the bank. And yes, we lost a whole bunch because they took all of our deposits and counted those and then denied all of our payments. So it drove us way up over any insured levels, you know. And I wrote Phil Graham thinking he would care. He was my professor at A&M. Got the standard thing back. Dear citizen, you know, nobody cared. But it was a wonderful thing because we learned that we could get by the Red Sea and we would be delivered. And we learned to not trust in chariots and horses or in bank accounts or zeros or numbers. Do we like having money in the bank account? Yeah. But we learned that when it was all gone, it really didn't matter. And that's a real important thing. Then we lost our business. You know, we had some younger partners that just decided they wanted it more than we should need it. And they kicked us out and did some real weird stuff, but you know what? That was a Red Sea moment, and the Lord delivered us, bringing us to where He wanted us to be. We were right where He wanted us to be, or we could have never ended up here doing this morning. And then the death of our parents, and then some of you have been at the Red Sea moment where your expenses are just greater than your income. So today, principle number one is know that you're right where God wants you to be, even if you've screwed something up and made a big mistake. He works all things together for good for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. And it doesn't say in there, except if you've screwed something up. You know, I like to put all these exceptions to what God's word says. It says all things work together for good for those who love God, for those who are called according to His purpose. This is a picture of Andrew Murray. He was a pastor in South Africa that I discovered over the holidays. And he was talking about these traps we get ourselves into. And he said, there's four things to remember when I'm in that trap. Number one, I'm here by God's appointment. We are here where we are politically by God's appointment. I'm saying each of us in this room. Secondly, we are in his keeping. Thirdly, we are under his training, and we are in it for his time. We're going to be in it. We're under his training. He is our leader. He is our guide. He is our comfort. And although it makes us mournful to see things and institutions that we love denigrated and destroyed, we have to put our hope in him. You've got to, or you're going to be eternally disappointed. Red Sea number, rule number two. When we're in these pickles, Jana, we have to be more concerned with God getting glory than for us getting relief. We get into these problems and go, Lord, I want relief. Lord, I need relief. Lord, I want relief. This is too painful, Lord. I don't know about y'all. I've been in some pain the last couple of weeks. And I'm not talking about COVID, to where you can't even feel like you can talk on the phone to somebody, okay? And I had to stop and say, God, how will you change my thinking to where I'm more concerned about your glory than about my comfort? Because the text shows us, Pharaoh will say to the sons of Israel, this is when they're out there in this Baal Peroth, bad, let's call it our bad place, okay? They are wandering aimlessly in the land, and some of us feel like we're aiming wanderously, or wandering aimlessly. The wilderness has shut them in. Thus, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will chase after them. And I will be honored through Pharaoh and all of his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Did God need all that honor? What God needed was for his people to realize that he was their salvation, not some rabbit that Moses could pull out of the hat, a stick big enough to run everybody off. God received the glory because they were out of cards. They had nothing left in their hand, Larry, to go to how we love playing cards. They had nothing, all right? They saw a full house and a royal flush coming at him, and they didn't even have a pair of twos. They had zero. For those of y'all that are card players, that's not a good place to be in. So when we get into a difficult place, our immediate focus, mine is to get out of the pain that I'm experiencing. It always is. But we need to stop asking the question, why is this happening? How do I get out of this? And instead, let's say, Lord, how can you get glory out of what will be my responses to people? Because it's real important how we respond to people right now and how we respond, because we're surrounded by people, I think, that ignorantly are being used of a horrible movement of the left, okay? They really are, and they don't even realize it because they've never read history. They don't know what they're doing, okay? They're well-intentioned people. It hurts bad. We want to get out of this pain, and we learn that we have to rely on him. It's my natural instinct to try to figure out how to solve a problem. It's one problem that men have with women, is women tell us about problems and we want to solve them. Don't tell me how to solve this. I just want to talk to somebody. Men talk to each other about problems when they're looking for help. I'm going to come up to Mike. I said, Mike, I got a problem with my John Deere A. I don't know what to do. He's not going to put his arm around me and say, I'm so sorry you feel that way. He's going to go, well, have you tried putting in a new this or a new that or looked at the magneto? We can't solve these problems. They're bigger than we are, y'all. And there's a comfort in that. Because if not, then we think, what are we supposed to be doing to solve the problem? Do y'all see what I'm talking about? And you become so frustrated because you realize the problem's bigger than we can solve. Let's stop looking for the quickest way out and look at how we can glorify the Lord. He can be glorified in how we react to hardships, the things that we go through, okay? On the podcast last week, Larry and I honed in on the verse, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. His love endures forever. And I'm going to say to y'all this morning, and we're going to keep saying it, give thanks to the Lord for he's good. His love endures forever. And our job now is to keep reminding ourselves of the truths of the Word of God. We've got to keep speaking truth into each other's heart, lest we despair and give up, okay? And I'm not saying we just give up. We're going to talk about that. Choose to believe that God is good and that he promises to make all things work together for good for those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. He doesn't say he works all things together for good for the country that rejects him and doesn't want to have anything to do with him. It says, all things work together for good for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. He will work these things out for good. I don't know how, and it won't be for our comfort, okay? But it's going to be for our good. We just have to trust that God's good, and he's going to get us through whatever is to come. I keep my eyes always on the Lord, with him at my right hand. And what does David say? I will not be shaken. It is not time to run scared. It is not time to be shaken, all right? And the way we don't is we keep our eyes on the Lord and with him on our right hand and realizing, why is it important to have him on our right hand? What do you hold in your right hand?
Your weapon.
You hold your weapons. And what the psalmist is saying to us, it's not your spear that's going to help. It's not your sword that's going to help, but it's what little David said. What did he say to Goliath? You've come to me in the name of your gods and with your sword and with your spear, but I come to you in the name of what? The Lord of hosts. All right. When he is who we hold in our right hand, we will not be shaken. And you better amen that. Red Sea rule number 3, acknowledge your enemy, but keep your eyes on the Lord. Y'all help me. Help me and y'all read this aloud. When the king of Egypt
was told that the people fled, Pharaoh and his servants had a change of heart towards the people. And they said, what has this we have done that we have let
Israel go from serving us? So he made his chariot ready, took his people with him, and he took 600 select chariots and all the other chariots. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he chased after the sons of Israel as the sons of Israel were going out boldly. Then the Egyptians chased after them with all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and they overtook them camping by the sea besides Pi-Hahiroth, in front of Baal Zephon. So, you know, we don't pretend that our enemy's not there. Sometimes Christians think, well, I'm just supposed to just pretend nothing's out there but butterflies and bunnies. No, we're not. They looked out there and they saw that army coming at them. We acknowledge who is our enemy and where is our enemy, but guys, we don't ever take our eyes off of the Lord. Do y'all remember when Peter was walking on the water? Do we all remember what happened when he took his eyes off Jesus? And what did he put them on? Please, yeah. He looked at the waves. He looked at the storm. Guys, there is a storm going on all around us, but it does not have to go on within us. Thank you. It's all around us, but it doesn't have to go on within us. Let's acknowledge our enemy. What is our enemy? You know, imagine the terror that struck them. I think that this thing will help me. Read this with me. This is something we studied back when we studied spiritual warfare. And our next series is probably going to be Ephesians. We're going to go Galatians, then Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against powers and against world forces of darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. You will be able to resist in the evil day. Guys, we are in the evil day. We are in the evil day. To be able to resist in the evil day, we've got to put on the full armor of God. That is so appropriate for where we are right now today. Our friends are out there that are, quote, liberals are not the enemy. My mother was kind of a liberal. You go, well, what do you mean by liberal? Mama wanted everybody to be able to drink at the same water fountain, stay in the same hotels. Y'all hear what I'm saying? That's not what we're facing now. There's many old benign, what I call benign Democrats. My grandparents were Democrats. They were Connollys, related to John Connolly, who was the governor. That is not what we're facing. I've been reading a book by Dennis Prager. Anybody know who Dennis Prager is? Dennis Prager is a great blessing to us now. He's an Orthodox Jew who respects Christians and realizes that, he says, if it weren't for Christians, Jews would be hanging from trees, okay? He realizes that we love the God of Israel, that we love the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And in his book, he says there's three ideologies trying to take over the world. He said there's Islam, there is leftism, and there is Americanism. And he calls it leftism, and it's a great book to read and understand what leftism means. But leftism is basically based in society without God. And when you get society removed from God, you get some really weird stuff that happens. You get Nazi Germany. You get Mao, Chinese Communist China, okay? You get Pol Pot. You get 100 million people killed in the last century. That's what you get with leftism. Do not be mistaken. What we're facing now is the taking by leftism over the media of our country, the universities of our country, the schools of our country, all of the system of our country. And it's happened not in the last 6 weeks. It's happened in the last 60 years that I'm aware of. Wouldn't you say from about 1960? And there's probably three or four great decisions that were done by the Supreme Court. And I've talked about one of them the day before the election. I talked about Roe v. Wade that my cousin actually argued. Okay, before the Supreme Court, you know, may she not burn in hell forever for what she did. But these decisions have brought us to the point where we are today. This didn't just happen. Dr. Jeffers of First Baptist Church Dallas put out a video this last week that's been passed around where he said, what happened has happened for a long time, like explosions that have gone off. Series of explosions, and you wait, and it looks like nothing's going to happen, and then the building implodes. Have y'all ever seen this where a explosion happens and then nothing, and about 45 seconds later, an entire building just collapses? He said those decisions along the way were the charges being set off, and now we're standing watching an implosion. So it's not something that just happened. So leftism is not liberalism, so I want to make that clear. It's not democratism. Leftism's leftism. And it's just using the vehicle of the Democratic Party to get into it and to do things and to bring things to silence us. And we've all seen the silencing in the last 2 weeks. Okay? And they silence us because they cannot defend their system. I want every young person, Orlando, listen to me, and Becca. The leftists have silenced people that disagree with them on Twitter and Facebook and Google, not because those are bad people. It's because they cannot defend themselves with their history. Their history is rotten, and their history doesn't work, and their history is anti-God, and it is anti-Christian. So we need to be aware of that enemy, but not be afraid of that enemy, but wake our eyes, open our eyes and wake up and realize what it is that we're facing. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. When people's major platform is the murder of unborn children, can anybody in here say that is not wickedness to its core? To the core. I mean, worse than bad. I mean, unbelievable, okay? But we don't despair, all right? We've done what we can do, and we keep doing what we can do to speak out against it, and that's all we can do. But the main thing we can do is next. Red Sea rule number four is you pray. When we're in a Red Sea moment, we pray like we've never prayed. Who has prayed like they never prayed for an election this last 3 months? You didn't, Kathy? Okay, I thought, why would Kathy not pray? You're going to get called out here. You better have pretended you prayed. She raised her hand high. So if we prayed that hard and that earnestly, and we did on our knees in the McMullen house. I don't know if anybody else got on their knees at some point. I'm not going to ask you if you did. I did. And these things happen. That's where we start, and that's a get real foxhole prayer. Mike Davenport was a combat soldier in Vietnam, and he probably heard some combat prayers by people. And you know what? They're real. Because when people are getting their helmet shot off, and let's just keep it sane and civil, and things happen, they get very real. Guys, we're in a combat position. We're in the foxhole. And if you hadn't ever prayed, it's okay to pray now and say, God, I'm in a foxhole. Help me, help my country, help my church. Guard our voice, Lord. I can see the day when they'll come to silence me. This stuff's now out on the internet. Everybody can go listen to me, even in Washington. And if y'all see them take me off, then I'm going to go singing, I Will Not Be Moved, okay? I hate to even say that because I feel like I might have to live up to that. But you know what? If I do, that's what's going to happen. So we pray. Prayer is our weapon. It says, as Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. They became frightened. The sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. Now, unfortunately, they cried out in disbelief. They didn't believe God was going to save them, because it shows us that. We need to cry out to the Lord in belief and truly believe that His purposes are going to be worked out and that He will be glorified. Prayer is our only weapon. Intense prayer, foxhole prayers are real prayers, Mike. And they're real because Jesus said, some of these don't come out without much prayer and fasting. Do y'all remember that? So it's time to fast and it's time to pray with that kind of intensity. All right? We need to be urgent in our prayers. We need to be united in our prayers. We need to be unfeigned. That means not fake in our prayers, okay? And we need to be faithful in our prayers, saying, God, You've said it and we believe it. We're not just going to say we believe it, but we're going to believe it. Guys, God is going to win this thing. He's going to win. We may not win this battle, but He's going to win in the end. Believe me. Because my Bible says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. It doesn't say except that Jesus Christ is Lord. Say amen if you believe it. Red Sea rule number 5, we need to stay calm and confident and give God time to work. 13, Moses said to the people, do not fear, stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. And the Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. I don't know about y'all, but I would be happy to never see whatever her name, AOC they call her, ever again. Like an Egyptian, never to see her face on anything again. I would be thrilled. Yeah, somebody, Ocasio-Cortez, yeah, her. You know, they never had to see the Egyptians again. Those people that had berated them and humiliated them and put their neck under their foot. Let's stay calm and give God time to work. You know, one of the hardest things for me as a believer is waiting. Man, I get tired of waiting. I get so impatient waiting. Because it seems like an eternity to me. Don't you get tired of waiting? Huh? I do. That waiting is the hardest part for me of being a believer. Does anybody feel what I feel? Yes. You say, okay, Lord, how long do I got to wait? But this waiting and waiting, and yet the Bible is filled with things that say if we wait patiently, it pays off. One of my most favorite verses is Isaiah 40, 31. It says, but they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. Does it say that those that wait upon the Lord? We've got to wait upon Him. And we need to stay calm and confident and give God time to work. And it doesn't mean we don't do anything. And I'm going to get to that in a minute. We are told over and over that waiting is a big part of faith walking, and that is against Americanism. Americanism says, I've got to change what the situation is, and I'm going to do what I can do. I'm going to be self-assertive. I'm going to be an advocate of myself, okay? I'm a good advocate. I'm a trained advocate. That means you speak for people. Speak for myself, okay? That is not what I'm called to do at this point. I'm called to wait on the Lord. Sandy said to me the other day, it's time for us to wait and listen to the voice of the Lord and to figure out our next move. To wait and listen. And I thought that was wise counsel. God told His children not to be terrified. Do not be terrified. The Lord your God who goes before you, He will fight for you. Deuteronomy 1, 29 through 30. In your bulletin, I put a verse that's not on the PowerPoint. I think it was Jehoshaphat was surrounded by his enemies, and he had no idea what to do, okay? He didn't have a clue. They were out of options. The Ammonites were after him, the Moabites, the, as my dad would say, the Termites, the Jebusites, the Everybodyites were all after them. And here's what Jehoshaphat said. He was praying to the Lord. He says, "For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." Can we echo that this morning? Lord, we don't know what to do. There's a multitude after us, but our eyes are upon you. Can y'all amen that with me? That we're gonna say this exactly. Y'all read that with me. "For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. Our eyes are upon you." If you'll go to your bulletin, look at number 4, Red Sea Rule number 4, and it's the last sentence in there. For, yeah, let's read it now that Cassandra has it. "For we know we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." I really love that that's there in the Word. That I can identify with that. You know what? This isn't God's first rodeo, y'all. And it's not God's people's first rodeo. We see it over and over. And then we just need to keep reminding each other of the promises of God right now. Let's remind him of what's false. Right now, those that control the media want to tell us that what's bad is good. And what's good is bad. Isaiah said, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." And we're in a crazy time when people are saying that men are women and women are men, and that up is down and down is up. Y'all, that's doublespeak. It's nonsense. And let's keep reminding one another of what truth is. Truth is that God is in control of the universe. Truth is what the Bible says that it is. All right? That's reality. Last for today is, when unsure, take the next logical step. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Why are you crying out to me? Tell the sons of Israel to move forward.'" It can become hopeless if we try to see the entire path of our deliverance. We can't right now. All we can think is, "Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Help us get through this week." That's what Mike Nickerson was saying. I was talking about this path and where we're going. He said, "Man, I just want to get through this week." You know, I relate. I just want to get through this week. And we take the next logical step. The next logical step is to pray, is to do what we're doing today, to show up to church, to affirm one another, to remember what God's word says, and realize that we're not in it alone. That's what I want us to, I want you to leave here today encouraged. And I want you to understand that I am not a person that scares easily, because I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. And I want you to understand that civil disobedience has a place in the life of a believer, because things are going to happen, and I'm prayerfully studying this now, and I will for months, because I don't want to tell you all something that's not right. But if it comes a day, because the Bible tells us to train up our children in the way that they will go, so that when they're old, they won't depart from it. And if the government wants to take Dalton and Felice's kids, then we're going to rally behind them and not let them. We will civilly disobey, because they're going to raise their kids in the fear and admonition of the Lord, not hand them over to a state that wants to indoctrinate them. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Amen. And it's going to be many, many steps like that that we're going to take, and the Lord's going to guide us. And I'm having conferences with other like-minded pastors about, you know, what are we to do and what are we not to do? There's been all this talk about masks, and we've gotten all upset about masks. Well, let me tell y'all something. If they had legally told us we couldn't wear masks, the Bible would say wear a mask, because there's nothing in the Bible that says we shouldn't wear a mask. Now, what makes it tricky is these declarations and things to not wear a mask are done illegally. Do y'all follow me? And we're not called to obey laws that are done illegally. All right? So I'm going to help us negotiate this and work our way through it, and I'm figuring it out. And I'm looking now and I'm reading the history of how the American Revolution happened. I'm not saying that I want to have an American Revolution, but I'm saying those were like-minded believers that said, where does our faith and our obedience to Scripture crisscross with being like the Israelites were in Egypt when they were commanded to kill all the babies? Did they obey? What did they do? They saved Moses and hid all the kids, okay? That's civil disobedience. And the Bible is filled with instances of that where edicts from the government were passed down that went contrary to the Word of God. Do y'all follow me? And your pastor's going to sort that out and think that through, and I am right now. I'm already thinking. I've been thinking about it for 3 months, and now I'm really discussing it and talking about it. So more than all that, let's remember that we're just sojourners in this land. There's a great song by Rich Mullins. Do y'all know the song? Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Do y'all know that one? Yeah. Well, the first part of it, nobody ever sings much, but this is verse 2, and right now our computer is not working to where it can play music, but he says this, sometimes I think of Abraham, and he thinks of old Abraham coming out of that tent, how one star he saw had been lit for me. Remember when God said, go out, Abraham, and count the stars? So shall your descendants be. Guys, we are descendants of Abraham. The word tells us we're spiritual sons and daughters of Abraham. So one of those little stars that was up there was lit for you and you and you and you. He says, how one star he saw had been lit for me. He was a stranger in this land, and I am that no less than he. Don't ever forget you are a stranger in this land. This world is not our home. We're only passing through. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what would I do? You know the song? The angels beckon me from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. We should have never felt too comfortable in this world. Amen. To begin with. We got too comfortable in this world. And on this road to righteousness, sometimes the climb can be so steep, Dalton. I may falter in my steps, but God, I'm never beyond your reach. Oh God, you are my God. Oh God, you can sing with me. You are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways. And step by step, you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. Let's leave today with this song in our heart. I will seek you in the morning. I will learn to walk in your ways, God. And step by step, I'll follow you, and I will follow you all of my days. Sandy mentioned something to me private the other day. She goes, I don't know what is going to happen in all this. She says, but I'm not giving up. And I said, well, I'm not either. We're in this together, girl. I'm not going to lay down. Step by step, we're going to follow him for all of our days. We invite y'all once again to join us in doing that in our little place in the Grove. And we're going to do that. We're going to keep studying God's word, and we're going to encourage one another. And I hope you guys are encouraged having driven all the way from Madisonville today. They were so sweet. I told them, I don't think anybody's coming. They said, well, we'll come. And let's remember what Paul said to Timothy. First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers and petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men for kings and all who are in authority. We're to pray for those in authority. Even if they got there illegally, all right? Because there's all kinds of, I'm sure, emperors that got there by killing people, right? And doing crazy stuff. And he says, why? For kings, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. We're to keep sharing the gospel. That's our job. And the gospel is that I'm a sinner, you're a sinner. Jesus died on an old rugged cross for you and me, and that if we put our faith in him, then we're going to live with him for eternity. That's the gospel. And that's the word for today. I don't know really how to wrap it up, but
maybe with the Abraham coming, the Aaronic blessing.
Yeah. But anyway, I hope, does anybody need to say anything just to share? Are y'all with me on this? That it can be discouraging, but let's just remember God's people have been at the Red Sea before. Let's remember that today. I'm not saying the Red Sea is going to part for us. I'm just saying that we're right where God has put each of us in time. We're right here. We have one another to encourage one another, and that's what we're supposed to do. I want you to leave encouraged. Don't leave discouraged. We can leave a little sad at the things that we see, but encouraged that we do serve a God who's real, who has done great and marvelous things, and has delivered his people over and over and over again. So let's pray. And I'm going to ask, Mike, would you close us in prayer?
Can we sing the doxology?
Let's let Mike.
Well, after.
Sure. Amen. Y'all stand and let's sing the doxology. We've sung this a bunch of times for Linda, and she hadn't been here. So we're going to sing it for you today, Linda and Kelton. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance unto you. And may he give each of us here so much needed perfect shalom, peace. For it's in Jesus' name and in him that we find this peace, and God's people said, amen. Guys, we